At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Glorious Ichibas with us. Yo, Curtis Spears, what it is, what it do.
Oh my God, I love it every time.
Well,
I love it when you interrupt the song and go.
That's my hardcore vocalist, like. Fucking, when the sex song kicks in, punching best friend in the fucking face. That's like my one of my best running fucking jokes whenever we used to play with hardcore bands back in the day. Oh, you girls, don't just hold your boyfriend's hoodie. Fucking get in the pit and fucking kick some cunt. Like that kind of vibe.
Anyone wearing a white belt and his sister's pants needs to get in the pit right now.
I mean, that would work too, but both of those were actual real calls that I'd heard in real life at various shows. So yeah, that was a running gig. So how you beat? We're gonna fucking be chained to the wheel today. But before we do, let's just let people know that we're alive. My fucking articulation, bruh, 55% improval. Improvement.
Articulation?
In like my wrist. Speech? My wrist, bruh.
Oh,
articulate.
Shit.
Not, I don't know. Turning.
It's the
wrist
same.
Turnability is now at 55% upwards, where before it was at none percent upwards. So that's good.
This is the Rafe News Network, RNN. News Network. If you want to hear all about Rafe's appendages, this is your day.
Well, I mean, I feel like some of the listeners would maybe, those who listen along might care about my well-being, unlike you apparently, since you're teasing me about my injury, and they just want to know where I'm at. They want to know how well I'm doing. But I guess I'll go fuck myself.
No. This reminds me, like, literally of when Randy Orton first came out in the WWE.
Oh. And he, like...
Did he have like injured himself?
And he had some shit like, I'm 10% away from fucking whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
That was
awesome.
Exactly,
man. The Randy News Network.
It was like getting ready.
The only time.
He's now at 90% ready to fucking go.
The only time I've ever thought that Randy Orton was entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, I did like when he kicked everybody in the head. That was pretty good. I was punting everybody in the head.
Oh, I wasn't watching then.
Oh, well. Then there you go. I guess you're not going to see it. But yeah, anyway, today, though, is not updating people on my injury because apparently nobody cares, including my co-host. What we're actually going to do is we're doing the first official – it's the second episode of The Wheel, but it's the first kind of match that we're going to talk about. The first one that we dialed up.
Episode 1A of The Wheel?
Episode 1A, exactly. Let's just call it, yeah. Let's just call it The Wheel number one. How about that?
Wheel time.
Wheel match one. There we go. So when we first spun the wheel, for anybody who doesn't know, the wheel is a list of matches that we want to watch, rewatch, have been suggested to us. And first and foremost, before we get into what our match was and what we're talking about, we've got to thank everybody because we've had heaps of suggestions. Like, people have really gotten behind this. This is that we ask for questions and shit all the time. Nobody really gives a fuck normally. But we've had like a lot of people suggest matches, which has been really fun.
Yeah, like so it seems like our last episode, the episode, I didn't want to do an episode bitching about the app. I thought we would just look like complete and total douchebags. Like we would just
it
look
needed
like,
to hear it. I'm sorry about that, but it needed to fucking be said.
And evidently I was wrong. I was in the wrong about it because it's become some sort of like call to action. Everybody is like, yeah, you're right. Fuck this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Dude, even like President Tanahashi, our president, he comes out and he says like, yeah, sorry guys, the shit's going to be updated by the end of the year. All of the back catalog's going to be out by the end of the year.
When did he say this?
On the 4th.
So when did we release the episode? Are you saying that Tanahashi is a listener to our podcast? Not surprising.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Because he actually loves me personally as a close personal friend of mine, my girlfriend. So So we released.
President girlfriend.
Exactly. Presidential girlfriend. Let's just do the maths real quick. You said he said that on the 4th. So yesterday.
Yeah, he came out yesterday.
Oh, wow. We released that like 6 days ago. Response, he's like, are you telling me that guy that I hugged that time is unimpressed with the app? Fucking get to it.
I'll fix it.
Oh, my God. We've inspired change.
It really, like, it seems like, you know, we have a platform now, you know?
I didn't realize
we have the ability to enact change in the world.
Mm. You know what it was? It was the idea of the Brother Ooh guy, side by side with their image.
Brother.
They're like, we don't understand a word of what's being said in this podcast, but we could see Brother Ooh and the app. Brother Ooh. And they're like, that's not good. Ooh. We don't want to be that.
Brother.
What is that? Oh my God, I didn't know this news.
Yeah. Yeah. He had like, I think 10 different things that he talked about. And one of the top 10 things he talked about was the app.
That's amazing. Was there a personal apology like directly worded to me in there? Or
I mean, he didn't mention your name,
but it was insinuated.
I'm thinking that he's probably going to like send you like a poem that he like personally has handwritten.
It does take a while to get mail here to Japan. I've ordered from the Tokon shop before. It takes a while.
He's going to like. Send it to you on like pink paper, you know, that he wrote it with a feather quill.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And he's like,
send it in a crane's beak. He's got to send a crane across the sea. And by that, I mean the bird. It's got to fly here. Like they've got it there.
He's going to spray the message with whatever like scent that he wears.
Oh, yeah.
So that it smells like him when you receive it.
Oh, that's absolutely beautiful. Also, he might have emailed me. I haven't checked my email in a while. But either way, that feels really good to know. So he still cares about me. That's good to know. We're still dating.
We did it.
We have done it. So yeah, that's great. And that I don't like to be negative about stuff, but I felt it needed to be said. Now today, while I've been doing stuff and working around the house, I just had the New Japan World up and I was catching up on some New Japan Cup matches and that was working fine. I press play on the thing. It plays the next match. Everything continues along. That's fine, at least to just like watch the shows that have been out. You know what I mean? But the casting, like the app itself is the joke because like I can cast any single app from any single provider to my TV. It works fine. Try and do it with the app Glitch City. And then if, you know, after every match it stops. If you want to know all our thoughts and problems with the New Japan app, please go listen to our previous episode. But now that we got that out of the way, it's time to talk about the wheel because we got everybody going with the wheel. We chose our first match, not a New Japan match. So if you're a New Japan fan, you've tuned in to hear this episode, real fucking sorry.
Sorry, bud.
But hey, we used to be Okada shorts. He left. We became the Ichiban Sweetcast. We don't have a New Japan wrestler's name in our fucking name anymore. So now we're just going to do whatever we want. So today we are talking about a an old school match from back when we were younger. And to be honest, I'm pretty interested to talk about this because it's not okay in 2024.
It
don't
is
think
not okay,
in watching that, it is not okay. And so it's just a lot has changed in that time. And I feel like it's super interesting looking back at it, you know, from the lens of now. So the match that we had dialed up on the wheel was from WrestleMania 12, and it was Goldust versus Rowdy Roddy Piper, the Hollywood Backlot Brawl, the infamous Hollywood Backlot Brawl. I just watched
March 31st, 1996. Oh, from
he's got the dates. It was
at the Arrowhead Pond in Anaheim, California. I remember that because that's where the Mighty Ducks played for
Come
the
on,
longest
Ducks
time.
Ducks fly together.
Yeah, Ducks fly together, buddy. Flying V.
Love it.
So, yeah, this was the first WrestleMania that I got to watch live. And that's a thing for
really?
Me because most of the time I was getting the Coliseum home videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch a WrestleMania live until WrestleMania 30, I don't think it was. 30?
Wow, that was a big one.
Yeah.
That was like the 30th one.
Yeah, it was the 30th one.
I remember being really into the buildup for this because I was a huge Rowdy Roddy Piper fan when I was a kid. And at this point, I did not know that Gold Dust was Dustin Rhodes.
Uh-huh.
I had no fucking clue.
I mean, I didn't know who Dustin Rhodes was, so it meant nothing to me anyway at the time.
I was 12. I loved Dustin Rhodes when I was a kid.
Because you were a WCW guy.
Mm-hmm. I was a WCW kid.
The natural.
So the natural, and they call him the natural. And I fucking loved Dustin Rhodes. And then like Goldust shows up. I'm like, who is this asshole?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he starts like French kissing people. And I'm like, whoa, I'm 12 years old. My mom better not see me watching this.
There's got to be questions. And see, that's part of the thing. Like, as much as, like, how much the world has changed between now and then, because back then, obviously, it was still really taboo to be that flamboyant, gay characters, you know, and the way that Goldust is positioned in the lead up to this is essentially that he's like sexually harassing Roddy Piper. You know what I mean? That's the kind of thing. Like,
I have some trivia. Would you like to know?
I would love
a
the
little
trivia,
piece
please.
Of trivia. Mm-hmm. This was not supposed to be Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Really? Who was it supposed to be?
Yes. Razor Ramon.
Oh, okay.
But Razor Ramon's contract expired and he told them, hey, I'm going to WCW. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, go fuck yourself. You're not on WrestleMania then.
Ah.
And they immediately took him off the buildup.
Wow.
And so that was supposed to be like a Miami street fight or whatever. And it became the Hollywood Backlot Brawl instead.
Wow, that's interesting. I did not know that. That's cool. So
I know lots of little details about this. I'll give you quite a few bits of information.
Why don't you? You're real good at the research part. So why don't you give everybody the research story background of the match and everything like that, and then we can kind of break it down a little bit.
Well, the build to this at the time, Rowdy Roddy Piper. I'm going with this off the top of my head. I hope this is fine. I'm going to be a little bit. What's the word I'm looking for? Scatterbrained.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fun. I had to think about that one. So basically, at the time, Rowdy Roddy Piper was in WWF as it was WWF at the time. Mm-hmm. WWF as a authority figure. He was the one who said that they were going to have a 1 hour Iron Man match. That was his idea, quote unquote, mm-hmm. Between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. He was a big proponent of doing things the right way. Rules, damn it. That was his thing. Rules, damn it. Rules.
Rules.
And everyone would laugh at him because Rowdy Roddy Piper never paid attention to the fucking rules. Then, because he was an authority figure, he attracted the eye of the strange and unusual. Big scary quotation fingers, Gold Dust. And I think strange and unusual is longhand for gay.
that is exactly what it is. Gay and potentially cross-dressing.
Can I really fast? It feels really bad that it's June right now.
June 2024, really, and we're talking about this.
It's fucking LGBTQIA2S+. Pride Month.
Well, I actually think it's appropriate that we talk about it now, because I think it does really show, like, how far things have come. That, like, in 2024, there's now openly gay wrestlers that, like, they're not looked down on or thought less of or stereotyped for being, like, into being gay characters. I mean, there's an openly gay and black character in AEW, you know, Anthony Bowens from, like, The Acclaimed, and his whole thing isn't, like, he's the gay wrestler, you know what I mean? Like, he's part of a stable with Mr. Ass, ironically. But that's just a coincidence, you know what I mean? Like, they had a segment where, like, a chick hit on him and, like, the entire crowd was, like, chanting he's gay, but in, like, a positive way. Like, you dumb bitch. Yeah, like, what are you trying?
You're dumb. He's gay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was, like, a good moment, you know, where it was that could have never flown back when this existed.
No, you're very right. That would absolutely not be the case in 1996. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, for anyone from 1996, whoever used gay or an F slur in a derogatory fashion, like, hopefully you can look at things these days and change and say, like, no, like, that wasn't cool. And, you know, you can still have fun with a silly wrestling match, but, you know, these issues are bigger than two cishet white guys on fucking a wrestling podcast should really be getting into. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we think about how far we've come, it really is fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. That in the year of our Lord 2024, in Pride Month, we can look at this as a piece of art, mm-hmm. a performance, and at the same time realize that we aren't entertained by this for the same reasons we were when we were 12.
Absolutely. You know? Like, at the time, like, you just took it for what it was and you probably kind of thought it was real and, you know, and didn't really know those kind of things. Now you look at it through a completely different lens, you know.
Yeah.
In the time that it's come, and, like, you know, the way everybody just used to use those words, like, as slurs in common everyday, whatever, you know, in high school and stuff, calling each other, you know, man, these words. It just was part of your dialogue kind of thing. Now I can't even imagine saying it, you know what I mean? Like,
no.
And I think it's like the world still has so far to go, but you look at something like this, just in a dichotomy, just in, like, something as small as this, in wrestling, there's been way worse stuff than this as well. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool. And, like, though this is still, you know, gaga and entertaining to look back and you're like, oh, there's some cringy bits and stuff like that and, you know, and it's entertaining, but you're still like, fuck, that's a little bit of a reality check into really how much ground we've made, which I think is pretty cool.
It really is. And that's I think, probably as far as, I mean, we have to really go. Is that, you know, we can say this is not appropriate for what it says, like, as far as you know, gay wrestlers and things like that, because there are, you know, every color of the entire spectrum of rainbow of wrestlers out there, and every last one of them is loved and appreciated, as well as the fans. Every last one of them is loved and appreciated, no matter who they choose to love or who loves them. As far as this being a fucking goofball, fucking stupid ass match, it's so much fun, dude.
Yeah.
So this, the actual brawl part, because this is a three part act. It's a three act play.
Yes.
Right. There's the actual brawl in the Hollywood backlot.
Yes.
Then there is the chase.
There's a car chase.
Where Goldust drives a car far, far away, mm-hmm. and is chased by quote-unquote Rowdy Roddy Piper. in a white Ford Bronco.
Yes.
Down the Santa Monica Freeway. And
and it's funny because even Vince is saying on commentary, he goes, that footage looks kind of familiar to me and stuff like that. Like they're laying it on pretty thick.
Another like funny thing about this is not only is it Pride Month, but OJ Simpson passed away recently. Mm. And like they just straight took the OJ Simpson like footage and just played it on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's what the fuck? Who's got balls like that, Vince fucking McMahon?
Because it was like,
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I'd have to look at the calendar, but like, how far after that whole chase really happening in real life did they do this match?
Oh, less than a year. It was less than a year for sure.
So it was still like very, very much like in the public eye, like the
trial
recent
was
thing.
On. I think the trial was on at the time.
Oh,
so
well,
much
would
in the public zeitgeist.
That would absolutely make sense.
Yeah, so we've got all these things that are happening, like the O.J. Simpson car chase was summer 94, and the trial was still going on at the time, I think. Yep. I'm pretty sure. Because the trial lasted well over a year.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It was fucking wild, buddy. It was fucking wild. So you've got this. That's the second act, is them just playing O.J. Simpson footage. And then the third act is them actually showing up at the arena.
And then actually having a match in the ring.
having part of a match in the ring. Mm-hmm. And did I see this wrong? After the match ends, does Rowdy Roddy Piper like celebrate with a little kid?
Oh, I think, maybe I sort of, as it all ended, I was about done watching it. You know what I mean? Like I had other things to do. So I don't remember particular celebrations or anything like that. Sure,
he might celebrate with like a little boy. And I was just like, get that little boy out of the fucking ring. That little boy shouldn't be watching this.
He's got no business anyway. In there. Because, I mean, if you take that into perspective, Rowdy Roddy Piper has just stripped a man of his suit where he's wearing lingerie underneath it. He's tripped him up and he's beat him in lingerie and then he's been pulled out and ran out of the ring. They're get that dastardly gay out of the ring. It's the vibe that they're giving you. And like the whole time Rowdy Roddy Piper's saying things like, is this close enough for you? This is what you wanted? You wanted to touch me? Like, you know, things like that.
Oh, it was so funny. I like one of the stories I heard about this was that Dustin and Marlena, his beautiful valet, they actually had to go the night or a day before or something like that and buy the lingerie. And they had to make sure that they could find
that
something
it'd fit him.
I imagine this giant cowboy fucking, 6'4".
He's a huge dude. I was behind him in line when we were at Starcast. Like he kind of like walked past us, then we were kind of walking behind him kind of thing. And I was like, that's a fucking tall man. He's not a small dude at all.
Not a small dude. Not a small dude. He's natural, you know?
And naturally tall.
And he had to wander into Fredericks of Hollywood and be like, you got a G-string going to fit me?
And then they'll be like, well, and it's kind of still a little bit kayfabe, but he's got to be like, because I'm the strange and unusual gold dust. Like,
yeah, exactly. What color would you like, sir? Well,
do you reckon he went in full gimmick, like with the robe and everything?
That's the only way that I would accept it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, because those guys have to be professional, when you're working in a adult entertainment store or shop, you have to be completely professional.
Yeah.
You cannot giggle. You cannot crack a smile no matter what someone asks you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to be straight faced 100%.
This is it.
And so when giant ass Dustin Rhodes comes in and says, I need garters and, a bustier and all this. You have to be like, yes, sir, let's go ahead and get you measured up.
Yeah.
What color would you like?
The whole deal. Got to play it too legit.
What kind of stockings? Are you looking for fishnets?
Yeah.
What do you got? You have to be 100% cool.
That's a whole
and
thing.
So I don't, though. So I would only be like, nope, go get your robe.
That's the only way this is happening. It needs to be in front of me.
Go get your wig, buddy. Go get your wig. We're going for it. Let's go.
That's it.
So a few things that I've heard.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I watched a shoot with Dustin about this match. Mm-hmm. So the very beginning of the match, Roddy's there. Roddy's waiting.
Yeah, he's waiting.
Where
in
is
the alley.
This son of a bitch? He's fucking in the alley. He's gonna kick this guy's ass. There's a catering table. There's a big gold dumpster.
All of a sudden he's like, this is suspicious, this gold dumpster.
All of a sudden, big gold Cadillac shows up at the end of the street.
Gold from bow to stern, that whole thing golded out.
So it was
spoiler. Yeah.
They had to shoot this in one take. Mm-hmm. There were no second takes.
Yeah.
Knowing that, Roddy was supposed to jump out of the way of the car.
He ends up on the hood.
Roddy Piper going 40 miles an hour in this fucking Cadillac.
I know. And then he hits the bin and his feet are like there as well. Like it's slammed into the bin. Oh, and exactly.
It fucked Roddy up.
Oh, really?
And at one point I believe Roddy broke his hand.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So they weren't allowed to do blood.
Yeah.
But Dustin was like, bro, you got to bust me hard way then. Cause we can't cut each other for this match. Vince will not have it, but we've got one take. And can you bust me hard way? And Roddy was like, I got you. No problem. And instead of punching him in the brow.
Yeah.
Where you hit to
cut someone's most likely to break you open.
On that brow ridge. He broke his hand across Dustin's fucking forehead.
Oh no.
So now here's the thing. That was filmed 2 weeks before. So Roddy couldn't get a cast on that fucking broken hand until after the fucking the WrestleMania.
Oh, because he couldn't just come out with a cast.
Yeah, exactly. When on that chase would he have stopped? And they had to keep kayfabe, brother.
Couldn't he have the cast on and then cut it off for the match?
Maybe. Roddy Piper was a crazy person.
Yeah, well, this is true. I spent over a week with loose bones in my arm, and it didn't feel great. So I can't imagine a hand feels super good.
No,
but
I broke my hand once, and it had I think I didn't get a cast on for like 8 days.
Mm. Was Roddy Piper ever on some kind of drugs at any point?
It might be easier to ask when he wasn't on drugs.
Okay, then yeah, cool. So he probably didn't even really notice.
Although if Roddy Piper was Raw Dog in reality, then like, man, that guy was on another level because he was so fucking paranoid all the time, like freaking out. Like he thought that people were like chasing him, trying to run him down with cars and shit. That dude was nuts.
I mean, he wasn't wrong. He actually got hit by a car.
He did actually get hit by a car, yes.
That person was Dustin Rhodes the whole time. but yeah, the car pulls in and it stops and he's still in the car, and then fucking Ronnie rolls up and just straight busts in the window with a baseball bat straight over him, mate.
Yeah. Oh, man. And he's dragging him out of the car, throwing him. And then they go all the way, like, all through the catering.
Yeah.
Beating him up against the bin and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Like, it's, I mean, you're the deathmatch guy. How is this as far as, like, a hardcore deathmatch
scenario? Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's standard kind of sports entertainment, hardcore, but it was still pretty great fun. You know, they're throwing it around. And then, as you mentioned, that leads to Dustin taking cover, and he, you know, or Goldust taking cover, jumps in the car, cranks it up, heads towards Rowdy. He's supposed to get out of the way, doesn't, runs him over essentially. He ends up on the hood of the car, drives him back down the alley, slams into the bin, and then stops. And then Roddy rolls off the front of the car, and then he takes off. And so begins the chase. Then Roddy comes running back and gets that Bronco. That, what's it called? What's it like? Is it, I don't know how to pronounce it, Schrodinger's pistol or gun or whatever, where you see something at the very start.
Chekhov's
gun. It was Chekhov's Bronco, because you saw that right at the start, and then it comes into play, and then he takes off, and then so cues the O.J. Simpson footage, and that's a big joke, which leads to like, fucking, you know, Goldust is pulling up at the arena. He's trying to get to Marlena because she's like there and Rita celebrated and stuff, so he's like getting there to go get her. I guess because maybe he thinks he's won, maybe he thinks he's killed Rowdy Roddy Piper when he ran him over or whatever. But then Roddy comes in, and then so begins the match or whatever in the ring, where they're just like beating the piss out of each other.
Were they, do you think, in kayfabe, were they supposed to start in Hollywood and then end in Anaheim? Was that the plan? I don't think that was the plan. I think the match was supposed to be there. You know, but like, did they ring the bell? Like, just start it. Like, fuck it, just start the match.
I don't know is that what they insinuated? I don't know enough about American geography.
I don't
Was that what they were insinuating? That car chase took place in Hollywood and then they drove all the way to Anaheim? How far is that?
Yes. It's not far. Anaheim is outside of California. It's like not a suburb. It is a major urban center, because that's where Disney World is.
And this match happened like on WrestleMania, sort of like the first part happens, and then they go to other stuff, right? And then you sort of see the chase.
There were other matches.
And then you see the chase sort of happening throughout the broadcast, and then they come to the building. So I guess that is the fucking the gimmick, right? That they started in Hollywood and they ended Anaheim.
Yeah, I don't think they were supposed to end in Anaheim. I mean, like, obviously they were. That's, you know, brother, it's kayfabe, right? And I don't think they were supposed to come to the fucking, to come to the arena. Because, you know, like, sometimes you'll have, like, a match that, like, starts out in the parking lot and comes in, and then they finish in the ring. Like,
yeah, like Stadium Stampede and stuff. It's all pre-taped, and then they do the ending in the ring live or whatever. But I guess this was insinuated. This might have been one of the first to ever kind of insinuate that it took place over multiple locations and multiple hours, you know, if it like started the show and then they're fucking racing, you know, in police chases and stuff across the city to end in the arena.
So that was a wild, wild bit of, I guess it's a time capsule, you know, it's a wild bit of history.
It is.
From the WWE. I
mean, it's not exactly like a match that we could really break down the spots and stuff like that. You know, it's not the kind of thing that we're going to be like.
Other than the fucking Roddy getting hit by a car.
Exactly. Some of the other matches we're going to talk about on the wheel and stuff, you know, we're going to be going into, you know, Japanese classics and FMW exploding barbed wire matches and all this drama stuff. But this is more, I think, of the time of the sports entertainment, and more like the time capsule of like how unacceptable it would probably be in 2024, you know?
So unacceptable. So just so unacceptable.
I love it.
Yeah, it's bad.
I mean, it's bad, but like, it's wrestling. You know what I mean?
Let's do a thing. Mm-hmm. Let's do a thing where we give these like we, I don't want to, do we rank them, like put them where they should, because I don't want to just say like, is it pants or shorts? Is it sweet or sour? Like we need to come up with a, like a ranking system.
Like a wheel rating system.
Yeah. Like one of those like S tier, A tier, B, C, D, whatever.
Oh yeah.
You know, the Japanese ranking systems. This being the first one, where would you put it?
What are those rating systems called? Let's look it up and let's work with that, and we can keep it kind of ongoing. We can kind of have an ongoing graphic or something like that.
I think it's just called it's like a Japanese tier system.
Okay. Tier system, just because I don't know what they all are.
T-I-E-R.
Yeah.
It's like the one we did for all of the groups. Hantai and Bullet Club and all those.
Yeah, absolutely. Here we go. Okay, so they are, does this sound right? S, A, B, C, D?
And D, yeah.
And that's
and we
it?
Can come up with names for those as we go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's just start with that, and then we'll...
S tier is superstar tier.
Yeah.
Like, that's the top,
yeah.
Right? So I think that's the La Femme Nikita. Mm-hmm. You know, so like that's where I think we should only ever have one match there. If we put one match right there and we say that's the best match we've seen on this wheel, mm-hmm. and then four or five spins later, we're like, no, we've got a new best match, we got to move that other match down.
Yeah, okay,
you know what I mean?
So S remains at one the top, match. And then they could just become an A. Okay, then, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right, so and then I've seen them, they go really big, but let's just go to D, and D will be bottom. I would probably put this, I don't know, probably like, do you think C or do you think we go B because then it sort of sets the standard? I think probably C. I would have given it a D because it was definitely entertaining.
I would not
but,
give
I mean,
it a
it's
D.
Not it's really not, like a work
it's not a
rate.
Dud.
Yeah, it's not like a total dud. Like I enjoyed watching
and I did,
it again.
I did laugh at it a couple of times.
Yeah, and we got plenty to talk about. Plus both guys are legends. Like I love Goldust, like I love Rowdy Roddy Piper. So, you know, I can't really write them off. I think either B or C, probably C.
I'm going to say C.
I would say C because I could definitely see other matches, like true wrestling matches rating above it, you know? And I think I would
I can see true wrestling matches rating way lower than that too, so.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I think so. And I think D for dud kind of will be anything that's sort of like unwatchable.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't think we'll get many of them in this as we do it. You know what I mean? Because it's mostly recommended things, but hey, you never know. People might stitch us up. So there's that kind of thing. So yeah. Okay. Let's call this a B, call this a C then. Yeah.
Yep. That works for me.
Now the question is, are you ready to spin the wheel again?
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. Spin the wheel, make the deal. Spin the wheel, make the deal.
I need to put that sound in my soundboard here, but I don't have it. But I will turn on the sound so we can hear the wheel because the wheel's actually got sounds, and I don't think I did that the first time. So,
well, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Spin the wheel, make the deal.
Okay, ready? We're going to spin the wheel and make the deal. Spinning. Okay, it's yet again not a Japanese wrestling match. So.
Do you want to respin?
I kind of do. Not that I don't want to do this, but it's another one of my
don't
picks.
Don't even tell me what it is.
No, I won't. I'm just going to spin one more time because, yeah, we want to try and at least get to some Japan matches, yeah? Okay, hang on, one more time.
Yeah.
We get one respin. Okay, this one isn't my fault, so it wasn't my suggestion. It's actually from one of our listeners, but it is not a Japanese wrestling match. But that is fine.
Okay, fuck it.
We're going to do
it. If it's a listener one, we have to do it.
And guess what? It's even more inappropriate than the one we just did.
Oh, no.
Okay, so from our good listener who gave us a heap of good suggestions at SkillGull22, it's the Viagra on a pole match.
Oh, no.
What a stitch up. Okay, I guess there might be something below D tier. We just get to see how this
plays. We have been stitched up.
Oh, no.
You crook. You crook, you goddess.
Oh, no, I should have gone with the first spin.
You have dogged the boys. You have dogged the boys.
Oh, no. Okay, fuck. Anybody who doesn't, like, has only started listening to the podcast, like, as of these episodes, like the wheel episodes or whatever, are going to be like, do these guys actually even talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Okay, okay. Next episode, we're going to be doing a BOSJ wrap-up with a Dominion.
Yeah, we're doing Dominion. We're doing everything. This is just, I mean, there's only so much New Japan we can talk about, right? Like, so.
We're having fun.
Yeah, exactly. This is just a fun extra bonus thing that we do. So, fucking hell. Viagra on a pole match. Next episode of the wheel.
Is that a, like, Val Venus?
It's got to be. Hang on. Let's look it up. Fuck, I've never seen it, but it can't be good. Viagra on a pole match.
Oh, okay. RIP to your fucking.
Oh, no, it's not. AI. It's Billy Kidman versus Shane Douglas.
Oh shit! Actually, yeah.
But it's it's in a list called the worst of WCW. But I like both guys.
Well,
yeah.
I guess I can wax poetic about the end of fucking WCW if we really wanted.
Well,
to.
Well, yeah. Okay, I'm still stoked about this. I really was thinking it would have to be a Val Venus thing, so I'm pretty stoked that it's not. And we can talk about.
We've been dogged.
We've never talked about Shane Douglas or Billy Kidman on this podcast. So
that's true.
That gives us something different to talk about. We have been dogged, but we'll see how it goes.
We, the boys.
We, the boys, dogged. Have been dogged by @SkillGirl22. What an absolute dog.
Well, thank you very much for
that. I appreciate him putting in suggestions. And he actually put in like quite a big list, which is really great. It was like half a dozen suggestions, some of which were really cool. And this was obviously one of the stitch-ups of the bunch. So that's fair. Hey, it's all fair. That's what the wheel is. They get to, like, you know, a little bit of Schadenfreude watching us fucking go through it. So
oh, it's going to be better than watching a fucking Tongaloa match.
So. Well, yeah, I would take Viagra on a pole over that any day of the week. So that's cool. All right, I've got to pull Viagra on a pole out of the list, and then on we go from there. And we need to get more New Japan matches into the wheel as well. It's clear.
Yeah. Or at least, like, I need to be stronger about, like, putting stuff on there. I've been, like, oh, I really want to watch some 90s All Japan. I got to think about which ones. And then I just forget.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'll put them on there later. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I'll think about it and I'll be like, oh man, that Tenryu match. I need to watch that Tenryu match. I should tell Rafe about that and just fucking forget.
Yeah. Well, just, you know where forget. I am. Just message me. Just, hit me with a suggestion as you think of it.
Well, I'm always like, oh, I've got to find the right one.
Yeah, well, that's the hardest thing. You've got to give it that bit of extra juice of researching it.
Yeah, know? I think the saying is perfect is the enemy of good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there it is. So yeah, our next episode, we're going to be talking BOSJ. Uh-huh. We're going to be talking Dominion. We're going to be talking like lots and lots of New Japan. But that's next week. This week, mm-hmm. you get
this shit.
The Hollywood Backlot Brawl.
That's it. All right. Well, tell the people where to find us, because we are all on the Countout Network now.
That's right. You can find us on the Countout Podcasting Network. That's where our Patreon is, where you can help a bunch of cool wrestling podcasters do a whole bunch of cool wrestling podcast stuff. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/countoutpod. You can hear our secret show, our Patreon only content, The Sweet Spot, which we are probably going to record here in a few minutes.
Nah, we're not. We've missed our window.
We missed our window.
Yeah. Because the system fucked up again, like before we recorded. Thing
fucked up again.
Yeah.
We need to talk about something, though, because you and I read the same book, and I would like to actually sit down and have a little discussion about it. I think that'd be cool.
Absolutely. Maybe we can get it going. Either way, we'll sign this off, and then we'll see where we're at for time. But we are going to talk about that. And what is that book? Because I finished it. Have you finished it?
I finished it.
Oh, then, we should definitely talk about it.
Final Girls Support Group, Final Girl Support Group by Grady Hendrix. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. It's about all the final girls from all the horror movies. Like there's an analog for Nancy from Elm Street. There's an analog for Sally from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And all these final girls are together going through their trauma as adult women at this point. They're in their 40s and they're having all these meetings to try and like recover and live normal lives. Mm-hmm. And slowly someone starts picking them off one by one. So who will be the ultimate final girl?
Exactly. It's a good little book. You know what I mean? I went through it in audiobook form. You went through it in paperback, right? Because you showed me you physically had the copy. And then I went, oh, that sounds cool. I'm going to go think it. And then I managed to catch up to you. And maybe, did I finish it before you, maybe? Because it was in audiobook.
No, I finished it a couple of days before you did.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, I burnt through it like during my work week kind of thing. And I quite liked it, you know? Like, it's one of those ones that's not too heavy. Is it the best written book in the world? Absolutely not. But it's a super fun premise and, you know, it's good to go. And it'll be interesting to see both our different takes on it, considering that, like, you know, you read it in one way and you would have heard it with voices in your head, whereas I heard it with essentially a voice actress, you know what I mean? So that kind of sometimes affects your, you know, the way you hear it in your mind. So
I really don't listen to a lot of audiobooks.
I burn through.
This is all Patreon-only content. We can't give this away for free.
Oh. Yeah, you know what? You guys are going to have to hear how we digest our book audio just by zipping over to Patreon. And guess what? If you sign up to the Patreon, you support it, you not only get us, but you also get all of the extra content on the Countout Network from all the extra creators, like our good friend Ryan Neitzy, who is the editor of the show, the main man at Countout. He has released a series called Best of the Bosch, which is essentially the best of the best of the Super Juniors matches. And he breaks them down and tells like the history around them. He's done three, I think, episodes so far. And if you like your New Japan content, that's really good. And then I haven't done anything for Faces and Feels yet, but I will be down the road doing some extra stuff with Faces and Feels. And we've talked about doing more with Ichiban as well. We just need to find time. It's very hard. We live on opposite ends of the world. It's hard to get windows of time where we can hang out. So,
yes. But also you can find us on all social medias. If you want to give us more, wrestling matches to watch, preferably good ones, but we will take them all. We'll take them all.
Now, I actually am super stoked they've given us this shit one. I think it's more entertaining. So, yeah, you can absolutely, the listeners could stitch us up by being like, yeah, you guys should definitely put this in and it could be an absolute train wreck. That's totally fine.
Yeah, it's going to be okay either way. And we'll tell you exactly how we feel about it. We will not sugarcoat it.
Mm-hmm. If anything suggested gets added. Anything suggested gets added. So,
true.
There you go.
So yeah, if you want to do that, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Ichiban Sweet. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk to Rafe, you can talk to him at Faces Feels Cast on Instagram and Twitter. If you can if you want to talk to me on Instagram, you can find me at eldestructo83. I have a burner Twitter, but I'm not going to tell you about it.
Yeah, exactly. He does all his nerd rage posts on our Twitter instead of his own.
Yeah, I can't reveal, you know, my burners account. I did set comic book threads on fire recently by saying that Spider-Man would dog walk fucking Batman's villains gallery, but Batman would get absolutely fucking shit canned by Spider-Man's rogues.
Oh no.
And every Batman fanboy in the fucking world was just like, murr!
Oh, did you people go off at you?
Oh, absolutely. Pick up a fucking comic book. You've never read a fucking comic in your life. I'm like, yeah, okay, bro.
I might have been trolling. Yeah, exactly. Bruce Wayne isn't real. He's not going to cut you a check for this thread.
I'm sure he really appreciates you giving a shit about him. But yeah, okay. So that's all neither here nor there. Thank you so much for finding us. If you appreciate what we do here, give us a like, give us a 5-star rating, mm-hmm. talk to us on the various social medias. And if you have the money it takes to give us gifts of money, we would appreciate it on Patreon. Because like we said, it helps a lot of cool wrestling podcasters do a lot of cool wrestling podcast things.
Absolutely. So please, that would be very nice of you. But yeah, until then, all those things that he said, Rate, subscribe, listen or die, spirit of fight, style of strong, sweet cast. Ishiban. Ichiban Sweetcast. Ichiban Sweetcast. Ichiban Sweetcast.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Countout Network.
This has been a Countout Podcast.